أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين. صدق الله العظيم.
Now, all the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to everything, very clearly Allah presented and explained everything to us, and explained the biggest objective, our objective of life. Until now, all the verses that we've read and understood, from all different angles and ways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented to us this objective of life. أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And in opposition to this, he who will try to make us fail in this mission, who will try to make us be not successful, shaitan, devil, iblis. With regards to him, Allah Ta'ala explained everything as well. That Iblis, he in this world is our biggest enemy, worst enemy. And what is he our enemy of? That place where he was expelled from, he does not want us to go there. And he wants us to burn in hell, Jahannam. This is his happiness and this is his mission. And to do this, Allah Ta'ala, he sought permission from Allah, and he rather on top of that came with full ability and resources, that all power, ability he requested and he sought from Allah, obtained from Allah. I'll come from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left, I will attack from above. And he didn't leave any angle from which he could not attack us. Then additionally, we become miskeen. After coming to this world, we are left with no guidance, no help. So what did Allah Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala gave a very nice preparation and solution. Allah didn't leave us empty-handed and bare. And Allah gave us. What did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala do? Allah Ta'ala in this world to us, he gave us in the form of ibadat, such a beautiful weapon and tool where shaitan, he cannot do anything, and he melts when he comes across, and he leaves that vicinity when he comes across that weapon, and he runs far away, far away. Allah Ta'ala gave us such an ibadah. He bestowed this to us in this world. And this ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the faraid, the compulsory actions, these are not a burden on us or strict on us or a fine or a penalty for us or for us to be sad and distressed, number one. These are for our benefit. Yes? Because this is our protection that Allah has given to us from shaitan. Shaitan, when he will attack us, because he's very strong, energetic, he flows in the veins of humans. So how can a human being be saved from shaitan? So Allah Ta'ala prepared the opposition for shaitan. Allah gave us protection in the form of ibadat, worship. Worship actions. This is not a punishment for us, worship. This is not a burden, a mountain on our heads, or difficulty. No, rather through ibadat, peace will come into our lives, and our hereafter will be manufactured in a beautiful way. Understand this. Understand this. That Allah has given us ibadat to implement. And if you feel laziness, negligence, hardship, you don't feel like it, you're leaving it, and you're greedy for the world, you're running here, there and everywhere, you're not giving importance to ibadat. All of this is due to what? Understand? The shaitan has polluted our minds, he's captured our brains, he's encircled our thoughts, and he's made us run after dreams. Oh, I'm going to get up, and jobs, and men, women, money, houses. And within seconds it disappears. Yeah, just in the next road, in the next street, one person, he was fine, healthy, and he went to hospital. They admitted him, we found out he's ill, then we realized his janazah is taking place. One sahib in the same street, further up, big house being made. I said, whose house is this? And from some days you can see the house is being made, constructed, manufactured. Then we realized that the house before it was completed, was about to be completed, nice doors were being installed, and he's sick, going to hospital, and there's no guarantee about life. Our children, he's done this, he's graduated, he's arrived, he's done this, established. This is all a dream for a human being. Dream. The best life for a human being, the best human being who understands that the real life is the one that is to come. The one that is to come. So the ibadah Allah has given to us, ibadah, it's not for difficulty or penalty or fine or distress for us. Rather, why is Allah giving us ibadah? The meaning is that this is the weapon to break down shaitan nafs. When shaitan and nafs make us go towards sins, and when we do ibadah, he'll run away. He'll melt. He'll be finished. Number two, if you're lazy, negligent, understand it's shaitan. Shaitan, he has many tariqas and methods to put us off. You hear this regularly, in the words, in the discussions. Big methods and techniques. When a person's lazy, that's shaitan who is attacking that person. So one thing, revise and make it solid in our minds that don't leave the ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. There is no gain at all in leaving ibadah. Loss upon loss in leaving the ibadah. Third thing, if we understand that ibadah is benefiting Allah, no benefit to Allah, brothers, no benefit to Allah from ibadah, worship. Yes, there's no square millimeter free of Allah's ibadah. The angels are doing. They are born, they are created to do ibadah, worship Allah. So it's not us. So don't think that it's benefit to Allah when we worship. It's just for us. The worship we do is beneficial for us. So we should understand this total philosophy. Benefit is for us. If we leave the actions, the farai, if I say to you, you're going outside, it's raining a lot, take this umbrella with you. You'll be saved from the rain, protected from the rain. Getting wet, you won't care if you don't listen to what I'm saying. And will you come back dry or wet? Obvious that after you'll come back with a cold, a flu, sneeze, runny nose. Allah Ta'ala is saying you're going to this dunya where there are issues, problems, difficulties, all the challenges, difficulties that I've created, they'll be there. Hey, take this umbrella. The protection, the umbrella of salah, aqimu salah, wa atu zakah. This is the umbrella of zakah. Warqa'u marraki'een. Subhanallah, wa aqimu salata, wa atu zakata. Warqa'u marraki'een. Allah says, you're going out. If I say to you, you're going out, it's raining, take the umbrella, you'll be protected. If you come to this dunya, Allah says, I give the umbrella. If you'll be protected from everything. What is that? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَا الرَّاكِئِينَ. Clear? All after explaining everything before today in the beautiful way Allah is presenting this ibadah to us, worship. So this is our protection. Understand this, number one. Point number one. Ibadah is protection. Allah's fadl is blessings and grace upon us on two things. That if you're lazy, negligent, Allah has given so many rewards in return for the ibadah. Allah says, if you implement these ibadah, I'll give you these rewards. So there's a return. What's the need? For example, you're going out, take this umbrella, you'll be safe from the rain. You'll be safe from the rain. And this is my favor upon you, you should say, thank you, your favor upon me, you helped me, assisted me, isn't it? But if I say, no, definitely do this, keep this on your head, and I'll give you £500 on top of that, if you use umbrella, you say, oh, benefits, give me money as well for using the umbrella. So Allah Ta'ala is saying this, pray salah, when you pray salah, then I'll give you so many rewards, so many, you could say, we lose count the amount of rewards that Allah Ta'ala has given to the person that you cannot imagine for worshipping. Such great rewards, thawab for salah, imagine. Look, let's understand this. So many thawab, so many rewards for praying, a person it will be gobsmacked, dumbfounded. Imam Jafar bin Muhammad, he narrates, and he said that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, the salah, look at this point, what a great reward. Salah is not a minor thing. When a person prays salah, what does he get? He gets Allah's happiness, pleasure, the love of the angels. The malaika in the heavens, when a person prays salah, then they start to love that human being, the angels. When the angels love the human being, they start doing dua for him, for his illness, for his difficulties. Sometimes he doesn't know the person, musalli is praying salah, and his issues are being resolved automatically. He says, how comes this is happening to me? He doesn't know that the malaika start to love him due to his salah. They do dua for him, they pray for him. Subhanallah. Anbiya alayhimus salam, not just one Nabi sunnah, rather all the Anbiya alayhimus salam is the sunnah that you are implementing. Praying. So our salah, yes, it gives a change, but subhanallah, it gives Allah's pleasure, happiness. Marifa is the nur, the light of marifa. So this is the praise of salah now. Marifa, what is marifa? Irfan, Allah's closeness, Allah's nearness, Allah's attachment, Allah's knowledge. You're getting close to Allah. Marifa of Allah. Salah is the source of this. It's the nur. It's the light of Allah's marifa. In other words, salah is the light that will deliver you to Allah's marifa, His nearness, His closeness, being close to Him. Without salah, you cannot attain Allah's marifa. You cannot. The big point here is that iman, it is the root of iman. The reality of faith. If a person's got faith, iman, their reality, physicality is salah. And another way you could say that the person who prays salah, he is showing the reality, the genuineness of his iman. Salah. Prayer. The third point. Allah and his servant, this is the connection. In other words, subhanallah, that is the source, the way, the means. Like we see a person, for example, he says, can you give me some reference so I can get to this person? You know him better. Please give me your reference so I can get close to him or attain something. So what do we want? To get Allah Ta'ala's nearness. We have no need for nobody's reference. Just pray 2 rakah salah and you will get the reference, the means to Allah's nearness. That means, what a great tool. And you have any need, any difficulty, any distress, any sadness, any illness, don't do anything else. Pray 2 rakah salah, and via salah, Allah Ta'ala will give you that resource of salah to get to His nearness and to get the solution. So the musalli who prays salah, salah is the light of the grave. This is all hadith. The qabr is there, isn't it? Waiting for us, our grave. We have to die, isn't it? We have to go to a grave. There's darkness in the grave, in the ditch. But if you pray salah, alhamdulillah, you pray salah, you regularly pray salah, then you'll have the light in your grave. Where did this come from? Light. This is your salah. There's no darkness in the grave. It's light beyond light. In the grave, it is like the mattress for his back. Subhanallah. Can you imagine a mattress in the grave? Spiders, serpents, the grave, darkness is stated. No, when you go to the grave, salah will come in the form of a mattress, a bed for you in the grave. Comfort. And it will be the response to Munkar and Nakir's questions. Allahu Akbar. That when the person, the time will come, he will question, they'll question the toughest time of life when a person will be faced with the questions of the grave. Soon as a person goes into the grave, immediately, soon as the people who buried him, when they bury him, they're just walking away from his grave, a few feet away. And that person who's in the grave, he is hearing the footsteps of those people walking away who buried him. And then his biggest test starts right away. The 3 questions he has to answer and he passes, subhanallah. What a life of negligence a person is living in the world if he's not doing these actions. Oh, leave it, I'll pray salah. I'll see you pray yourself. Don't tell me to pray. Why do you keep talking about namaz and salah? Look at the people. Don't tell me to pray salah. Oh, what difference does it make to you? It's my salah, isn't it? It's not your salah. What difference does it make to you? Why do you keep telling me about salah? Such statements we utter will go to the grave. Munkar and Nakir, the salah is the answer to the questions. Salah will say, get back. You don't need to say anything. It'll say to Munkar and Nakir, ask me the questions. Answer Allahu Akbar. Your salah will respond. It is the response to the Munkar and Nakir's questions. In another narration, that salah will ease your answers for Munkar and Nakir's questions. Subhanallah. Give you ease of answering such a severe time, challenging. And if a person comes and influences you and assists you and gives you the help, imagine the help we'll get. And until Qiyamah, in the grave, the salah will be your assistant and friend. Allahu Akbar. Look, a lengthy time in the grave, from grave to Qiyamah, and such severities will come when a person goes into the grave. So what will salah be? It will come in the form of friendship, sincere assistant and colleague and friend that will share in your grief. Real friendship will come to you in the grave in the form of salah. You know, your friends in the world, you have a gossip, a chit chat, you go to them, have a knees up, etc. But in the grave, for example, if someone, a real friend in the world, when you're ill, he comes and helps you in your happiness and grief, he shares. That's called a friend in need. Is a friend in need, isn't it? Good friend, who's your friend in happiness and sadness. May Allah Ta'ala give such good friends to us in this world as well. The full world is full of greedy people. When you have a difficulty problem, they go here, left, right, they leave, exit door, they don't even ask, don't even look back. Good times, they meet you, they see you, eat and drink with you, sit with you. Soon as a problem, difficulty, then they go out from the side doors. Exit doors, quick. Is this hope? Is this love? So in the grave, the salah will be your best friend. Yes, what will it be? Your Allahu Akbar. Salah, your namaz, will be your best friend, sincere friend. Just one hadith I'm presenting with you. One hadith is lengthy. It's full of the fadail and the virtues, the greatness Allah's put in salah. We cannot imagine what Allah Ta'ala's put. The beautiful effects and rewards and impact of salah. And this is just one hadith from the beginning we're reading here. Thawabs numerous. We cannot even count so much thawab reward beyond our thinking and imagination. Everything, the solution to all hardships, Allah's put in salah. Salah. And how important is it? We see, we know that the importance of salah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah has given us the order, aqimus salah. What a great order and a great action. Salah. How important it is. In our deen, we have a need. How important is it for us and how needful that we need to pray? One hadith, just one hadith is enough to explain this. That the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that salah is the pillar of our deen. End of story. The foundation of our deen. Without salah, Allah will not accept the deen of anybody. Allah Akbar is saying this. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He said, I heard myself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this. The five times salah is the pillar, the foundation. Like you buy a building, and that building, it is stood on one pillar. Take that pillar out, that beam, the building and the roof will collapse. End of story. So if in our house, in our life, our children, our family, our offspring, there's no salah, then there's no deen. They're just wasting their lives. Allah forgive. No one can say nothing. No one can say nothing. There's no happiness. You know the happiness you see, promotion, progress? That is the promotion of the hellfire that they are seeing. It's just a game for a few days. A game for a few days. Work hard on salah. Salah. Allah Ta'ala, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu raised this. Without salah, Allah does not accept the deen of that person. Without salah. Allah doesn't accept. These are the words. No way possible. So essential, essential is salah. One person came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this example. Look at this example. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked that, please tell me this. And how many salah fard on me? What shall I do? How do I pray them? People used to come from the wilderness, the desert area. And they used to ask straightforward. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that five times salah fard on you. Compulsory on you. Must. And he said more or less. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said fard on you five times salah. That's it. Then he swore. He promised. He was a nomad, a villager. He said, I swear by Allah, I will 100% do this. I will not leave salah. I won't reduce less than this or do more than this. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that you spoke truth. You spoke the truth. The sahaba was sitting and he said, Rasulullah said, look to them, address them, said, this man is speaking the truth. Ya Allah, that if this man is speaking the truth, that he will not leave salah and he won't do more or less, if he is honest, then he stated, Rasulullah stated, that I, Nabi, will say now that he will go into paradise. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Qiyamah, when it will be established, the day of judgment, first and foremost, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that on the day of judgment, the first question will be what? About salah. Salah. The first question. No other question will come first. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you love your children, your family, don't you have that desperate need feeling? Don't you feel sad that how is this person in my family leaving salah? So if there's a person who's praying salah, he's regular, he establishes salah, and if there's ups and downs in salah, then Allah will say to the angels that the things that are lacking in his salah, complete them. How will they complete them? That the person's nawafil salah will be called forward. and they will be then included in his fard to plug the gaps. So here masla comes that we just pray fard and run away. We don't, the sunnah muakkada, ghair muakkada, we don't pray the nawafil. We have no attention. We don't pay attention. We run away. Oh, it's not fard, is it? It's not fard, is it? We don't have to pray. But on the day of judgment, Allah will say that where is the gap in his salah? Plug it with the nawafil sunnah. Why do you pray shortcut salah? Especially the women folk. Shortcut salah. Shortcut salah. So have you got a guarantee that your fard salah in such a good way that there's nothing lacking in it, it will take you to where you need to get to? Can you guarantee? Tell me. Very beautiful hadith. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu states that I heard myself from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah stated that on the day of judgment, the first thing Allah will ask for him from his servant will be salah. He'll be accounted for his salah. If he can answer the question of salah, then it will continue. If he has nawafil, then if there's anything lacking in his salah, the nawafil salah will be called forward and will plug the gap in his salah. Fill the gap. We leave nawafil, we don't pray nawafil, voluntary salah, extra units. Very precious is nafal salah, brothers. This will support immensely our deen. You'll get great levels in the akhirah. So salah with fard salah, we must complete the salah with the nawafil salah, nafal salah. So Allah Ta'ala stated, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. In other words, establish worship. Establishing doesn't mean just, the Mufassirin, the commentators have explained this. Establishing this means punctually, regularly pray salah. Not sometimes you leave, sometimes you pray. Establish your salah regularly. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ also means, in other way, the pray salah in the way that his haq demands. The right demands with preparation. Prepare. When does preparation for salah start? From wudu. Do good wudu. Do good wudu. Ablution for the men folk who are the hakims. Do wudu correctly. For everybody, do salah. Prepare for salah doing wudu correctly. Go in jama'ah congregation. Pray salah correctly. This is all aqimu salah. Establishing. Lay emphasis on the sunnah. And carefully pay attention to the details of salah with a nice way, physically aqimu salah, complete the salah, establish. All of this comes under aqimu salah, establish salah. Another meaning also comes for aqimu salah, that salah always increase and improve your salah. Subhanallah. Further, we'll explain how this occurs, inshallah. This ibadah isn't just this, rather what is it? This ibadah, salah, will take you to the genuine objective. In other words, salah that we're praying, this is the physical salah. We need to take it away from physical salah to the real essence of salah. Then it will become aqimus salah. This is the reality of salah. So, such a fantastic deed is salah, namaz. We see that the person, human being, as Usman radiyallahu anhu, he had a worker, Haris. He said that I saw as Usman radiyallahu anhu that he called the wudu for the water. He did wudu, ablution after doing wudu. He stated that I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam myself doing wudu like this. Look how deen the Sahaba delivered to us. He said that I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing wudu like this, performing wudu like this. He demonstrated it. And whoever does wudu like I've just done, and then he stands and prays dhuhr salah, has Uthman radhiyallahu anhu saying this, from fajr till dhuhr, all his sins Allah will forgive. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. And then he who's prayed maghrib, from asr to maghrib, all his sins will be forgiven. And he who's prayed isha salah, from maghrib to isha, all the sins will be forgiven. And then it's possible that on his mattress, on his bed, all night long he lays down, he sleeps. And when he gets up for Fajr Salah and he completes it, then from Isha till Fajr, all the sins Allah will forgive. Subhanallah. So this is Salah, Namaz, my brothers, look at this. And what a great weapon Allah has given to us, isn't it? A great tool, resource, a great asset. Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, tell me. All the sins are removed by salah. Salah removes the sins. How many sins shaitan will enable us to do, influence us to do? But if we pray salah, And then we go to Allah and say, Allah, what could we do? Oh, shaitan destroyed us if we don't pray salah, etc. And the punishment won't just come like this. The punishment will be given just like this. We'll be thrown into hell like this. Allah Ta'ala has given us the way out. The shaitan cannot spoil you. Salah, why didn't you utilize the resources? Allah said, I gave to you the resources and the rewards and the means. And you wasted your time. You joked around in your life. And right for this reason, Allah will give the punishment of Jahannam, hellfire, to us. For this reason. Because we didn't use the resources that Allah Ta'ala gave to us. We can't say we had no chance and no way. Such a great reward where shaitan cannot come near us, cannot arrive to us, cannot spoil us, cannot give us any negative effect. Shaitan and salah, the connection is such that when adhan is called, he runs miles away. He doesn't even come close. He runs away from the adhan. Yes, he starts to shake. He starts to bury his head in the sand. Most of all, shaitan's complaint is with regards to salah. The most of all his complaint. Because it's due to salah that he was expelled. That action in salah. Yes, it was his greatest complaint and enmity. And he's staunch against this. I want to take revenge from these people. That's his objective. So brothers, in no way or form should we leave salah. It doesn't make any sense at all. Allah Ta'ala has given, that's why Allah has given so many rewards for establishing salah. So that a person, he can bring salah into his life and establish salah. So that Allah Ta'ala can give him the rewards for praying as well on top, additional. We should have that feeling, that passion, the desire on every footstep with regards to salah. Allah gives that reward. So there are punishments. So that we have fear for leaving salah. That's why Allah has given punishment. Allah says that if you don't pray salah, if you leave salah, and if you are fraudster with salah, you're deceiving yourself by leaving salah, then when you see the punishment, maybe that fear will come into you and you'll leave the sins. Yes, is this a small punishment Allah Ta'ala stated? That person who's lazy with salah, the 15 ways Allah gives azab to that person. 15 different punishments. Tell me how fearful the person who's lazy, not leaving salah 100%. That's great big azab for that person's punishment. But there are 15 punishments for him. 5 in this world. 5 punishments in this world. 3 at the time of death. 3 in the grave. And 3 when you come out of the grave. Yes, 5 adab of the dunya. No barakah in this world. The house where there's no salah, where if you don't pray, your children don't pray, your wife doesn't pray. The hadith is clear if you don't believe this. But you will see that in the world you can have money, stacks of money, big warehouses, big buildings, and give them on rent, commercial house. But I swear by Allah, that Allah's Quran and Allah's Habib says some statement, there are haq truth in that house. There can never be any peace, crying and problems and sadness, sakina can never come to us. That home where children don't pray, where the women don't pray, and they're lazy. I'm talking about laziness. Young people at home, children, what they're doing, they've studied and dunya achievements, but they don't pray salah. They live their life according to desire. They come sometimes, they don't come and pray sometimes. They don't pray when they want, they leave when they want. So every Muslim can testify, because Quran and Rasulullah ﷺ statements, when they have been made, in no way or form can they be wrong. They are correct, they are haq. You can do what you want. You can, they will only cry, difficulties, jinns and ghosts in their lives, difficulties, sadness. Not one person. And if there's one person in the family who's lazy with salah, the adab will come in that family. First adab, that in their home, in their families, Allah will remove the barakah, eliminate the barakah from their lives, their homes, their businesses, everything. Third, that the badbakhti, the wretchedness will come into the life. How many women can do makeup, put on fragrance, perfume, but the lanat of the person who doesn't pray will come into her head. The man, doesn't matter how handsome he looks, but if he doesn't pray salah, wretchedness, curse. The wali Allah doesn't look his face, because some friends of Allah, their vision, they can see from the heart, the eyes of their hearts, they don't look towards that person who doesn't pray. They don't look. They keep their head down because they can see the wretchedness, the curse, that person who's disfigured his face when he doesn't pray salah and he's sitting in front of that person. Allahu Akbar. And the third adab in this dunya, out of the 5, is that good deeds, good deeds. Allah takes the reward from all good deeds. Some people say, no, I don't pray, but I do other things. I do this action. I've got a big heart. My heart's clean. I give charity. I'm generous. I help the poor people. Some people try to bypass Allah with these excuses. It looks into this hadith. What happens? That his good deeds that he thinks he's doing, Allah removes the reward. Zero. Allah says, first is salah. What a big punishment. That reward for anything else he does that's good is removed. And the fourth adab is very big indeed. From the five of the dunya, that's the biggest assistance for us. And what is that? The asking Allah, doing dua. Allah says, the person who doesn't pray salah, I don't accept his duas. Punishment number four on the earth. Such a child, son or daughter, you see, she sees mom and dad are not praying. She should cry, beg, pray salah. And such parents who see my children not praying, don't look at their money. Don't look at the money, the cash in their pockets. Don't look at their bank balances. Don't be happy. Oh, my son, he's got a career. Big shot job. He transfers money to me in my bank. He gives me this and that. Mom's happy, showing off. My son's got money. Dad's showing off. He's got businesses and buildings. Waste of time. Waste of time. Tell me. Think for yourself. What a big adab. That such a person, his du'as are not accepted. The person who doesn't pray salah. And the fifth adab in the world, massive punishment, that we think we've got resource, that when we do go and meet good pious people, ask them to do dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts their duas, yes. And we say, Hazrat Sahib, do dua for me. Like Hazrat Sahib, our Sheikh, we used to go to him, a great person, Wali Allah. And from the hadith, we learn these things. This is correct, principally, dini, that you go to pious people to ask them to do dua. This proves that a person who's doing good, we think he's good and pious, Allah Ta'ala listens to his prayers and accepts his prayers on behalf of that person. It's a great resource for us, pious people's duas. But, the pious people's du'as, even that resource Allah Ta'ala cuts for the person who doesn't pray salah. You know, we say, I go to good people, they ask me to, ask them to dua for me. They first will ask, do you pray salah? No, I don't pray salah. I try my hardest to pray. Oh, he's so down, he's upset. Please do dua for him. Wali Allah says, look, such a person, dua for him is not accepted. And here, that you realize someone's pious, he's good, you have aqeedah in that person. Maybe you've made him your sheikh, your teacher. He comes to the teacher, please do dua for my relatives. They're upset, down. You know, people come and request dua. Now, what does he know, that sheikh, the teacher, that person when he's doing dua, Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept it. Why such a punishment for that person? It's an ajeeb punishment. Look, the person who has aqeedah in his sheikh, what a punishment he gets. Allah gives him punishment that his aqeedah goes as well. That, oh, I ask him to do dua. And I thought he was a wali Allah. His dua is accepted. I thought he did dua for me, for my brother, but he wasn't successful. My sister, she's problems. My uncle, the duas weren't accepted. So due to that wretched person not praying, who that person asked dua for, be made for, even his aqeedah goes. Don't ever ask a pious person to do the dua for a sinful person. Don't destroy your own self. No, first you pray salah, then I'll ask dua for you. First and foremost, if you want somebody to do dua, if you do dua this, that make them pray salah. Ask them to pray salah. And if you pray salah, and then the wali does dua for that person, this is a great dua. If he starts to pray salah, then mashallah, he's successful automatically with the fadl of Allah. Allah says, automatically your duas will be accepted. Subhanallah. But direct, we say, no. He's pious. He'll start praying soon. He tries. What can we do? She'll pray soon. But at this moment, she or he is in difficulty. Please do dua for that person. Well, Allah says, okay, I'll pray for him. He raises hands. But who's going to accept the dua? Who accepts the dua? Allah accepts the dua. Allah said already, that person who doesn't pray salah, even via this wali, this pious person, I won't accept the dua. And he's in danger that the man who's brought the reference for that person, even his aqeedah, he loses aqeedah. This is a punishment. That why do you ask for reference for those people to be made dua for them when they don't pray? First, ask them to pray salah, guide them to salah, then ask for the dua to be done for that person. Subhanallah. And then, so these are the punishments in the world. Then there are three adab at the time of death for the person who doesn't pray. The person dies a wretched, dirty death. May Allah forgive that person who doesn't pray. He dies hungry. He dies with extreme thirst. In other words, even if you give him the ocean of water at that time, his thirst will not be quenched. Allahu Akbar. These are the three punishments at the time of death. The three punishments at the time of death. Today do tawbah, five times salah. Allah has given us salah for this reason, that if we don't understand via rewards, then at least due to the fear of these punishments, we should start to pray salah and be safe from shaitan and punishment. This is the biggest issue we have, is that we don't pray salah, that shaitan, you become prey to shaitan. Shaitan attacks and he destroys that person's life. So these were the three azab of the qabr, the punishments, that when a person's lowered into the grave, the person who doesn't pray salah, he becomes so tight to his grave, so tight that his ribs overlap. The ribs overlap. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Tell me, this is the condition of the person who prays salah. Every day people are dying, going into the grave. Such men and women. Who are these people? Who is this about? Those who are lazy, negligent, not those who don't pray at all. Further, I'll tell you that you'll be shocked what are their punishments. Those, Allah said, that they are devoid of iman. Devoid of iman. They have joined with kufr, those who've left salah. This is hadith. That if a person takes salah, if you take salah out of your life, then there's no difference between the Muslim and he who has no iman. This is hadith. Salah is the boundary between iman and non-iman. And the second azab in the qabr, the fire enrages. Allahu Akbar. The fire is set alight. And such a snake will be set free in the grave whose eyes are of fire and its nails of metal. And that snake serpent will scratch and there's electric current in it. And he says, Allah has sent me to you. The amount of salahs you left, Fajr salah you left, from Fajr until sunrise, I'll punish you. Zohr salah you didn't pray, from Zohr till Asr, I will punish you. Asr you didn't pray, from Asr to Maghrib, I'll punish you. Maghrib you used to not pray, from Maghrib to Isha, I'll punish you. Allahu Akbar. And then once when it slaps you in the grave, then 70 layers further beneath the ground, he's buried, and this adab continues till Qiyamah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Brothers, we think it's a game, a laugh, this world. One salah, what difference does it make if I don't pray? What is salah namaz? This is the difference that's made. This is the difference that's made. Another azab, ajeeb, unique, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his face will be three lines drawn out. The person who's lazy regards to salah. First line on his face, Allah's haq, he wasted Allah's haq. Second line will be written on his face that Allah Ta'ala is angry with this person. Ghadab, Allah, oof. And the third point, this person, he wasted Allah's rights and he is devoid of Allah's rahmah, mercy, written on the line on his face. Three lines will be drawn on his face. And the walis of Allah sometimes read that as well, see that as well, the reality. So these, in the kitabs, if we look at this, this is the majma of the hadith that is presented to us by the walis of Allah, that at least we, if the rewards with regards to salah, if we don't get the desire and the passion to pray salah, that such great rewards Allah has put for us for reading salah, then at least, if we are aware of the azab for not praying, then at least that should give us fear and make us start praying salah. Due to these azab and punishments, we should be afraid. And that should enable us to pray salah, establish salah. Allahu Akbar. So this, look, we need to see. So this is namaz, salah. Then after that, Allah says, وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Allah says, regards to zakah. Zakah, whenever namaz is ordered alongside that, in every place Allah Ta'ala, alongside salah, Allah has made lazim zakah. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, is a hadith, a beautiful hadith, we see this in Tabarani, it narrated that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that zakah is the bridge of Islam. Subhanallah. You can understand, there's a big building, and if somebody doesn't give zakat, then he cannot be traveling along Islam. Then he will stay at the lowest level. In other words, Islam is a tall building, it's equivalent to a tall building, and to get onto that building, the bridge is zakat. If you don't give zakat, then there's no bridge, so how will you get to that building and go up? You can't. So you can't get to Islam. Islam is the tall building, and the bridge to get to that building is zakat. So if you don't give zakat, the human being's iman, it's you're devoid. Look at the attachment, just like salah, then zakat is such that it is in parallel with iman, zakat. Zakat. Subhanallah. And then the same, Allah Ta'ala, has mentioned the adab, so that after being afraid of these adab, if a person is afraid of not doing it, or if, for example, give zakah, Allah Ta'ala gives, this is the second weapon to ward off shaitan, to make him dalil, and to save yourself from shaitan. So for this Allah Ta'ala has emphasized, what's the punishment? For not implementing zakah, giving zakah. The Holy Prophet says in this hadith, as Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu narrated this hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, we hear about this hadith, we hear this regularly, that person who does not give the zakah equivalent to the gold or silver he's got on the day of judgment, the adab, that person, his gold and silver that he didn't give zakah, money, then it will be made into fire and it will be stamped onto his forehead. Seal. And it won't be allowed to cool. Continuously that will burn, that stamp on his forehead, until qiyamah, that punishment will continue. Allah. Look at this. In which way Allah Ta'ala, with regards to zakat, there's a severe warning, reminder, admonishment that those who don't give zakat, this is their hal, their consequences. So, for this, there's a severe punishment for not doing it. Gold, silver, wealth, money, equivalent to that, it will be buried, melted, and stamped on that person's forehead. It won't be allowed to be cooled. And in the same way, azab, punishment till qiyamah, punishment till day of judgment, Allah will keep it continuous. May Allah Ta'ala give us His mercy. This is the love of dunya that takes to this end point. Person, that Allah Ta'ala has given us faraid, compulsory things. We need to, in that same way, implement them, complete them, fulfill them. This is the hukam, the order that's on us. Instruction. And with regards to salah, they will become the serpent. As Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates, that wealth, his wealth will be made into a serpent, and that serpent will come to punishment. And it will be a bald snake. Bald serpent. And anyway, this is, we can see, in some narrations it stated, Ibn Majah, there's a narration, that the mal, the person who didn't give zakah, then in place of his wealth, that serpent will be wrapped around his neck. Imagine you're alive and the serpent, the snake is around your neck. Wrapped itself around your neck. Another hadith states, that Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, the person who doesn't give zakah, his salah is not accepted. His salah is not accepted. So in other words, they're both in parallel. If you don't do one, the other things you're devoid of. So zakah is as important. It's stated. Wa'atu zakah. Warka'u ma'ar raki'een. Third point in this verse. That you need to pray salah in congregation, in jama'ah. In jama'ah. Pray salah in jama'ah. Bow with those who bow in worship. Just one hadith of not praying salah in jama'ah. One hadith is enough. Rasulullah said, he who leaves salah purposely, doesn't go to the masjid and doesn't pray in jama'ah. Rasulullah said, I feel that I gather the people in that vicinity, locality, gather the wood together, and I set that house on fire. Such homes, person sat at home. Oh, namaz is not necessary. And they don't have any sharia excuse not to go to jama'ah salah. And they don't attend jama'ah salah in congregation. In this country, in this hemisphere, how Allah Ta'ala has given us the places of worship, all four angles around us are masjids. Such places, there are people mad who run away from the town, modern, posh, big houses, they leave the masjids, they go into the jungles, the countryside. Oh, he's going to that town, village, he's living near the airport, in new localities. Some are such unfortunate, wretched people, they leave town, people, they've got posh area, they're living in rich area, new settlements, living with other people. They're dirty Asian people living in a town, in a city, we don't want to live near them. Let's move away, outer suburban, no salah, no masjid, nothing. And they leave their deen. So in this country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so many masjids in such a place. Here, if I want that, I can walk to various masjids around me. Allah ta'ala has given me a home in such a place. I can walk to various masjids in this country. Subhanallah, a man cannot even think that you think before worried, when I pray salah, where will I pray salah? Such a time came here in this country, that person is worried, there was no chance of praying salah. Where could you pray salah? But now, masjids in jama'ah, not to pray. This is a ajeeb situation, weird situation, if you don't pray salah in jama'ah. Allah has given such a great reward that when you pray salah, 27 times extra reward. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stated that the Prophet said, when a person does wudu, ablution, goes to the masjid, on his every footstep, Allah writes a good deed and removes a sin and increases his rank once on every footstep. And when he arrives to the masjid, enters, then just like a great guest who's coming to your house, you love him and you welcome him, you embrace him. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, when that person arrives to the masjid and enters the masjid, then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sees him and becomes so happy when he enters the masjid. Oh, we're leaving this. We've got big cars. Allah's given us cars, brains, understanding. Young men sat at home. Men sat at home. Don't know, there's no barakat in our lives. Our daughters, there's problems. What's happened to our children? We've got issues. Such jahil, ignorant, illiterate people we are, shaitans. This we cannot imagine when we don't look at these hadith. Why don't we wonder that why we've got these problems? Such Allah Ta'ala has given us thawab, that Allah Ta'ala looks at that person when he's entering the masjid and he's so happy, just like when you see a great guest coming to your home that you love. Imagine. And further, Allah Ta'ala says that when a person does wudu, leaves home, today is so difficult. Every man, he lives right close to the masjid, house is close to the masjid, and they run to the masjid to do wudu in the masjid. What's wrong with these people? They don't understand. In your house, don't you have bathrooms where you could do wudu? Can't you do wudu at home? I don't say anything. Do you save money, gas bill, water, energy bill? It's shocking. Why don't you do wudu at home? Prepare that you come to the masjid and do wudu. What a great thawab you're losing. Big shot people practicing. Wait a minute. I need to go to pray salah. I'm getting late. And then he's running to the masjid and doing wudu in the masjid. Tell me. Oh, servants of Allah, you're coming from home. Big thawab you're wasting, losing. The person is states in the hadith. Rasulullah said that that person who does wudu at home nicely, leaves home to go to the masjid, for him, for his izzah, his honor, I request elevation. And elevation, increase in his honor and dignity, his respect amongst people in the world. Subhanallah. And that person who does wudu at home, as Abdullah bin Umar states, that when Fajr, Isha, even Maghrib will come in the history, all these salahs, when he arrives to the masjid, Allah says on the Day of Judgment, that I will give him good news with the nur, the light. What great news for that person who prays salah in jama'at. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will give him a nur, a light, a beacon. And this is a fact, as Ibn Umar states, that Rasulullah said, 27 extra reward for his salah in jama'at. So anyway, so many hadith that Allah Ta'ala has given us guidance with regards to salah in jama'ah, congregation, in the masjid. And fuqaha, some jurists have said it's wajib, must, to pray salah in jama'ah, in congregation. Because the Prophet ﷺ, many clear statements have come that I will burn those houses, those who don't pray salah in jama'ah, who don't go in jama'ah in the masjid and pray salah. So this three hukums, three orders Allah has mentioned in this verse. وَقِيمُ الصَّلَىٰ وَآتُ الزَّكَىٰ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Now here, if we look at it from another angle here, this subject, time is short. So anyway, maybe I can complete this point, some points we can share in the angle of tasawwuf. As I said, that we are seeking tasawwuf and the depth of understanding in the Quran. First thing we see here, these three ibadat Allah has ordered and explained to us, they are physical explanation. Everyone has a physical and one has a reality. You have two parts to everything, a physical impact or physical vision, what you see, and one is the reality, the depth. One is salah, physically that we pray, and one is the reality, the intensity of salah, the depth, which is the reality, the genuine form of salah. Zakah we pay physically. One is the physical zakah, and one is the reality, the depth of zakah. And warkaw marakeen, one is physically, jama'ah, congregation, and behind that there's a reality, the depth, the intensity to it. So everything has a physical form and a depth intensity. So we are implementing the physical form, salah. We need to attain its reality, its depth, its intensity. Yes, its objective. What's the objective of salah? The intensity of salah. What's the reality of salah? The reality of salah is obedience, servanthood totally obedient and servanthood. This is the reality of salah. How? When a person prays salah, the reality of salah is when he says Allahu Akbar, he raises his hands. Allahu Akbar. Physically, the reality when he raises his hands, what is he saying? What is he feeling? Why is he raising his hands? He's saying, Allah, I raise my hands and I shun the world behind me. And I will now totally do what is according to your desire, your instruction, your obedience. Subhanallah. Now I won't do anything wrong, Allah. I will obey you and I'll live my life in your obedience. In other words, this is what salah is telling us to do. So physically to the reality of salah. Otherwise, salah will not give us enjoyment. You get the thawab, fine. But the reality of salah we're not attaining. That's why you'll see when after salah is stated about salah, that in the hadith is stated, there's one salah, five times salah. If, for example, if there's a stream flowing in front of house and the person's bathing in that stream, can any dirt impurity remain on his body? No. So a person who prays salah, can he be doing a wrong, singing music, doing haram actions, look at wrong things, do wrong actions? Can he? If he's praying salah. So reality of salah is that we haven't arrived to the reality of salah. And we haven't attained the genuine objective of salah. Explain that salah, it stops you going towards fahish, immodest and wrong sinful things. Yes, this is what they were. We say, oh, I pray salah, but I don't stop doing sins. Reason being that we physically pray salah, but we haven't gone to the reality of salah. Reality of salah is this, you've raised your hands, and the reality of salah is you're saying, Allah, I detach myself from the wrong, Allah will obey you totally, 100% complete. This is the reality of salah. Yes, and we don't arrive to that, we don't get to that point. Second point, wa'atu zakah. So the second deed here, so the physical zakah we've given, paid. What's the reality of zakah? Reality of zakah, what does it mean? Is a hubbe dunya, love of world, wealth, assets, material things will end. That's the reality of zakah. This ibadah Allah has given to us, zakah, is for this reason. Human being from his heart, all love of the world should be eliminated and Allah's love should come in there to replace it. And this is the reality of zakah. So we're giving the money, but you're feeling hardship, you're feeling tight, you're trying hardest not to give full zakah, and you get a bit scared, you get late. And zakah, so much we do, which is against Sharia. And we give zakah, somehow broken way we'll give it, we cry. But this is physically giving zakah. Okay, you get the thawab, you're implementing that order, you won't get the punishment of not praying. But the reality of zakah is what? That the hub of dunya has not come out. So what I'm trying to explain here is that if we want to obey Allah, if we want to be the servant of Allah, and we want to accept everything, then what will save us? Salah. Salah. That's the quality. And if you want to leave the dunya's love, take the love of dunya out of your heart, take out the love of material things, then zakat will take us to that station. That's the reality of zakat. Warka'u marraki'een. And this is also a great action. There's the physical jama'ah. There's a physical jama'ah, salah. And the reality of jama'ah, the pious previous have said that, warka'u marraki'een. What is this? So physically it's praying salah and jama'ah. What? When we stand, we pray salah, qiyam, we raise the hands. What we're doing? We are obeying Allah. We're demonstrating Allah, I've come to your servanthood. I'm praying. And when we go warka'u marraki'een, there's a different reality to them. What is that? Warka'u marraki'een, the reality is ajizi, humbleness and sincerity and lowering yourself, being simple. Yes? And going away from pride and takabbur. And so you have the humbleness inside you, the sincerity within you. Subhanallah. And so this is the reality of ruku and salah. This takes you to being humble and low and simple and lowering yourself and considering yourself lower than us. This is the greatest rank. And this is where a person gets the nearness to Allah. And this is the second condition of salah. Warka'u marraki'een, what does this mean? When a person... this is the second point, if you can hear, what's the message from Warka'u marraki'een? The message we get is that pious, good, upright people, you'll be with them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the tasawwuf point that I'm sharing with you. Yes, this is the lesson. Ruku, salah in jama'ah, congregation, Warka'u marraki'een. The message that's being given to us is that you, if you want to save yourself from shaitan, then you should spend your life with good people. Warka'u marraki'een. How will you attain that? What will you get? From the reality of your ruku and your salah, you will get humbleness, sincerity, and honor, and you will attain Allah's nearness. Subhanallah. Always you attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness through being meek and simple and humble and lowly. And this is the points of tasawwuf that I'm telling you, the definition via this order that Allah Ta'ala has given to us of salah, salah. Subhanallah. So salah, the reality of salah is what? That we say that when we stand for salah in the beginning, that Allah, I seek your obedience and your servanthood from everything that I'm doing in salah. And zakah, it teaches us where we leave the love of the world and the love of Allah comes into the heart. The love of Allah. Warqaw marakin is what? That person, he should spend time with Ahlullah, pious people, upright people, righteous people. Join with them and learn how to be humble, how to lower yourself, how to be sincere and simple. This is the reality of Warqaw marakin. So how do we attain all of these three things? So we can get the reality of salah, we can get the reality of zakah, and Warqaw marakin, we can get the reality of. For this we need to work hard. And this is tasawwuf and tazkiyah. Now, if me and you are praying and we want to take our salah to the heights so we can become servants of Allah and remove the sins, salah will give us that. And how do we do that? We have to adopt the journey of tasawwuf, tazkiyah. Go to the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, do mujahidat, make effort. That's why it's fard ain, has a Hakim ul-Ummat rahmatullah. They said it's fard ain to have a shaykh, a teacher. Those people who after praying salah, they don't go on the journey of tazkiyah, tasawwuf, their salah, they're just bopping up and down, doing sins. The salah is not complete. But those people who are mashallah, salik on the journey, they pray salah and alongside salah, they start tazkiyah, purification in their salah, starts to increase the intensity, the quality, the darajat, their rank increases. They become pure and clean, then they get to the reality of salah, where a person, Allah Ta'ala accepts their deen, their servanthood and their obedience, and they start to dislike those actions that are against Allah Ta'ala's wishes. So what we learn here, that zakah, reality of zakah, he gets to that. And by spending in Allah's way, when you spend and you are on the path of tazkiyah, reformation, then that hub and the love of the dunya comes out of the heart. Warqaw marraqeen. And with sujood, prostration, alhamdulillah, with ruku, then he has that feeling, that emotion, the barakah of jama'ah, of congregation. So this is the reality of jama'ah. Oh no, I pray at home, I can do this, but you won't get the reality of salah. So to get the reality of these three actions, what do you need to do? Tazkiyah, purification. That's why I stated, if we see, that why is there a difference in the salah of the awliya and our salah? In their salah, that after salah they don't commit sins. They control their lives, alhamdulillah, completely. Why? Because that salah, they've improved it. Tazkiyah, quality, clean, purification, the dhikr, adhkar, mujahidat, work hard. So the salah quality improves, increases. So one clear proof here. Evident that tasawwuf, tazkiyah, to adopt this path, there's no other objective. It's just to improve your salah, to improve your faraid, to increase the rank of faraid, to improve your zakat. And to improve your salah in jama'ah. This is where tazkiyah takes us. This is where tasawwuf takes us. That's why it's your difference. When you do dhikr of Allah, when you start doing dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. And before you do dhikr, you will see a big difference in your salah. So you will start to travel and journey to the reality of salah. The person who prays salah with tazkiyah, purification, that their ability to commit sins reduces. The energy that takes them towards sin reduces. They become aware of sins. That tazkiyah and tasawwuf gives that person energy and love. He has love with Allah. And the love of the dunya, love of material things, eliminates from the heart. And he doesn't run after the dunya, that person. He doesn't hasten towards the dunya. And he arrives to the reality, the real love of Allah. And the person who prays salah in jama'ah and congregation, subhanAllah, within that person, humbleness is developed. Sincerity is developed. Meekness is developed. That person's sincerity is developed. Warqaw marraqeen, that quality is there. That person becomes humble and simple and gives him a message that this, go to the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah and have their company. So this message comes to us. This is the reality of praying in congregation. Subhanallah. So my brothers, alhamdulillah, this was a summary of this verse that I shared with you, the discussion I had with you. So let's pray to Allah that Allah Ta'ala gives us the honest understanding of this verse, the message Allah has given to us in this verse, my brothers, that we should grab hold of the fara'id, the compulsory deeds, and don't just implement the deeds physically, rather go beyond that. With tazkiyah, work hard, purify, and after purifying yourself, increase the rank of your ibadah. When you go to the wali Allah, the shaykh, you request to do dhikr. There's a reason behind this, that we're increasing our salah, improving our salah, improving our faraid via dhikr. And this is the real truth and reality. When you sit in maraqabah with the shaykh, I can swear and promise that when you sit in maraqabah with a wali Allah, with a teacher, then what difference does it make? Your next salah will improve. Your sins will make a difference to the sins you're committing. And humbleness will come within you. Yes? So all ibadat, worship, they assist you with tazkiyah, alongside dhikr and adhkar. And with those principles we're doing, if you have rabta shaykh, connection with the shaykh, and you have love with your teacher, his principles that he's taught you, if you are doing tazkiyah according to the principles, not with your nafs, your desires, you're doing tazkiyah. No. If there are principles of tazkiyah, that's a separate topic. And if you're implementing that path correctly according to the principles, according to the rites, alhamdulillah, first is the haqq. The difference that will make to your life will be your ibadat. It will make a positive difference. Your faraid will improve, will be for the sake of Allah, for Allah's pleasure. So from salah, what do we attain? What do we attain via salah? What is it? Aqimus salah. What do we attain? Itaat, obedience, servanthood, Allah's obedience. If Allah says that salah will remove all fahish, immodest. So from salah, hubba dunya will be removed. From zakah, love of the dunya will go. And Allah's nearness. And you do it correctly. And if you pray salah in jama'ah congregation, you will attain humbleness, sincerity, and you will have good company with the righteous and pious people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of these points and the tawfiq to do amal on this, to practice on this. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.